going to do the podcast a little bit different. We'll put the articles at the end of my comments. Let me know if you like this format better. Because I was like, oh my gosh, there's just so much going on this week. Got Putin, had the phone call with Trump, and then Putin came out and talked. You guys probably didn't see that one because it got buried by everything else with the Comey fiasco, which is another comment to have. But we'll go over Putin first. I watched it. He literally spoke for maybe 30 seconds, so really not much there. But you see him walking, and he's quite relaxed. So I'm going to say it was a really good phone call as far as a non-stressor, which is what we want to see when you're dealing with another nuclear power. I sure as hell don't want to go to war with Putin. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who gives a shit about your feelings. Then we had Rubio, who was in front of Congress this week. And I was like, oh, Lord. But you know what? He's actually a really good indicator of how strong the Trump administration is becoming in the USA government. Because like I've told you before, his spine is as only stiff as the dog behind him. Apparently, his spine is extremely strong right now because he's got no fear in Congress right now. The big dog behind him, and I'm going to assume Trump because he's speaking Trump lines, going the Trump narrative, and doing the Trump things, and there's no fear. He's always had a hard time giving good eye contact, and I think that's mostly because he's kind of squirrely. Like I said, he's spineless unless there's the big dog behind him. But other than that, I was like, oh, wow. So the Trump administration in whole must be strong for him to be behaving this way and not like we saw with the couch thing where he's like, oh, I don't want to get in this fight. So then we have Comey. And he did an interview, I believe the guy's name is Corbett or Colbert. I think that's what it is. I think I'm starting to see why I was fooled by him. We all have our biases, and some of them are trauma-based. Some of them are not. And he reminds me of a womanizer, like a really gentle, soft-spoken womanizer. And yes, I've had some experience with those, and they are good. So to you, I'm admitting that I have a real blind spot when it comes to these womanizers. The soft-spoken ones. Which probably means he's cheated on his wife repeatedly. Which is probably how he's controlled. I think they got like 6 or 7 kids between them. That's a heck of a child support. But anyways, as I watched it, it's definitely a acting. He has practiced this. He knew it was going to come up. Colbert probably told him he was going to ask him about it. He probably practiced this whole speech in front of a mirror because that's exactly what I see. Acting. The exaggerated motions. The exaggerated facial expressions. That's all acting. But he's so good at it because I believe him to be a womanizer. I'd really like to know, could the super sleuth find his girlfriends? Because this personality, why it is so effective. He's not abusing them. I guess you would sit there and compare him to the Tates. He's a womanizer. It's that lover boy, the boyfriend, the, oh, I'll leave her. Oh, I can't. Oh, things are so dangerous right now. The only difference is apparently he's not running a porn site on how to abuse your woman to keep her enslaved. Now, as far as that South African president, oh, I don't really need to do a video on that one. You guys know that is golden. And it seems to be now a streak with Trump that every time he brings in these people to come sit and have a conversation, he's just going to show everybody what a douchebag leadership this country has. Oh, Ukraine, you commit genocide. Oh, Israel, you're committing genocide. Oh, South Africa, you're committing genocide. I'm just wondering who's next. And let's not forget the stare down that Elon gave to him. Holy cow. That image of Musk staring him down like that, it's such a soft face when he does it. It's not like the stern, furrowed face. Arr. I swear to God, I think there were calculations going through that head. So if I jump over the couch at this moment, leap over the coffee table, can I beat Secret Service or his security agents for protecting that man? Probably not. Shall stand here with arms crossed and stare at him. All right, that is the news of the week. Let's go on to the article. Comparing Trump to past presidents. Is Trump, meet the new boss, same as the old boss? A comparison with past presidents with Middle East revelations. The Who's Won't Get Fooled Again gave us the iconic line, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Capturing the letdown when leaders promise upheaval but deliver more of the same. As Donald Trump potentially returns to the White House in 2025, the question is whether he's the disruptor he claims or just another establishment figure with better branding. Recent celebrations in the Middle East, particularly in Syria and the Gulf states, suggest he's striking a chord abroad, but does that make him a new boss? Let's compare Trump leadership, policies, and impact to recent presidents, Bush, Obama, and Biden. Across policy continuity, personnel, rhetoric versus reality, and systemic impact weaving in how the Middle East reaction shapes the narrative. Policy continuity, change or status quo. Trump's first term, 2017 to 2021, promised to upend the system. His trade wars, tariffs on China, existing TPP, immigration crackdowns, border wall, travel bans, and foreign policy shifts, Abraham Accords, no new wars, broke from decades of globalization and interventionism. Yet his 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act mirrored Bush's corporate-friendly cuts and continued drone strikes and surveillance programs, echoing Obama and Bush. Deregulation was aggressive but rooted in Reagan's playbook. Now, in 2025, Trump's Middle East tour, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE, shows a shift. He's inked $600 billion in Saudi investments, a $200 billion Qatar Boeing deal, and an AI cooperation with UAE, signaling a focus on economic deals over military entanglements. His surprise lifting of Syrian sanctions, celebrated in Syrian cities, and push for a Gaza Freedom Zone suggest a pivot from past U.S. interventionism. Through his Iran threat, a violent course if nuclear talks fail, hint at old-school hawkishness. Comparing this to Clinton, 93 to 2001, who pushed NAFTA and welfare reform, extending Reagan's neoliberalism with a smile. Bush, 2001-2009, ballooned government post-9/11, Patriot Act, DHS, launched wars building on Reagan's hawkish legacy. Obama, 2009 to 2017, delivered the ACA, but bailed out banks and escalated drones, disappointing hopes for radical change. Biden, 2021 to 2025, aimed for big spending but mirrored Obama on foreign policy with no Middle East breakthroughs. Trump's Middle East moves, celebrate in Syria and Gulf states, set him apart from Biden's muted 2022 Saudi visit, where he fist bumped the crown prince with a little fanfare, but his economic focus and Iran saber rattling risk aligning with Bush's deal-driven confrontational style. In 2025, Trump prioritizes commerce over reform. He's closer to Clinton's globalism than a new boss. Personnel, outsiders or swamp creatures? Trump's first term mixed Mavericks, Bannon and Flynn, with GOP insiders, Munich and Pompeo. High turnover, four chief of staff, screamed chaos, not a clean break from the establishment. In 2025, his Middle East trip features new faces like Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and envoy Steve Witkoff, but their deal-making, UAE's order of Ziyad honor, suggested cozying up to Gulf elites, not draining the swamp. Clinton's team, Reuben Albright, was pure establishment, smoothing Reagan's edges. Bush leaned on Cheney and Rumsfeld. Ray and Bush Sr. veterans Obama kept Bush's Gates and hired Clinton's Hillary, blending fresh with familiar. Biden recycled Obama's crew, Blinken and Sullivan screaming old boss. Trump's 2025 picks show some outsider flair, but his golf hobnobbing mirrors Clinton's elite networking. If he leans on loyalists over swamp creatures, he could edge toward new boss territory, but recycling GOP operatives would make him Bush 2.0, same boss, flashier suit. Rhetoric versus reality, hype or delivery. Trump's drain the swamp and MAGA battle cries framed him as anti-establishment, but his first term lag deregulation rocked, but spinning soared and wars persisted. In 2025, his Middle East rhetoric denouncing nation building in Saudi Arabia, pushing a Syria chance at greatness, earned applause in Riyadh and Syrian memes celebrating his sanctions lift. Yet his Gaza Freedom Zone plan hasn't moved ceasefire talks, and his Qatar deals inflate numbers. $200 billion Boeing deal, hyped beyond reality, echoing past exaggerations. Clinton reform talk hid GOP triangulation. Bush's compassionate conservatism vanished post 9/11. Obama's hope and change fizzled into pragmatism. ACA aside, Biden's unity drowned in polarization. Trump's rhetoric is the loudest, but like Obama, delivery stumbles. His Middle East fans, Syrians cheering his strikes on Assad, Gulf leaders toasting deals, see a new boss. But in 2025, repeats first term gaps. He's just Obama with a megaphone. Granted, it's only been a little over 100 days. But like we want those silver bracelets. Systemic impact, revolution, or repaint. Real change rewrites the rules. Trump's first term, Supreme Court picks and media attacks shook institutions, but the bureaucracy and deep state endured. In 2025, his Middle East moves, Syria sanctions lift, Gulf deals snubbing Israel signal a pivot from U.S. neoconservatism, delighting Syrians and Gulf states while rattling Israel's assumptions of special treatment. His non-interventionist stance applauded in Saudi Arabia, contrast with past U.S. meddling, but his family's business ties, Trump-branded projects in Saudi, Qatar, and UAE, raise ethical red flags, tying him to establishment profiteering. Clinton cemented globalization, no major breaks. Bush security state, NSA, TSA, reshaped America, but wars echoed Cold War norms. Obama's ACA shifted healthcare, but bailouts popped up the system. Biden's spending aimed big, but foreign policy stasis limited impact. Trump's Middle East splash, Syrian celebrations, Gulf investments, outshines Biden's flops and Clinton's tweaks. But it's less systemic, or less seismic, than Bush's post-9/11 overhaul. In 2025, Trump avoids battling big tech or the Pentagon. He's Clinton with a crown, flashy, not revolutionary. Conclusion, new boss or louder old boss. Trump's first term, mixed disruption, trade, immigration, and establishment defaults, tax cuts, war machine, making him half same boss compared to Bush's deficits of Obama's drones. In 2025, the Middle East celebration, Syrian joy over sanction relief. Gulf states lavish welcome, UAE's order of Zayed, Qatar's jet offers, paints him as a new boss, rejecting Biden's pariah state. This bumps in Obama's cautionary diplomacy. Well, he's not going around bowing to everybody. Remember that fiasco? His sanction lift and anti-interventionist talk resonate with Clinton, Bush, and Biden fell flat. Yet, risk remain. His Iran-threatened business ties echo Bush's hawkish deal-making, and his Gaza plan stall suggests rhetoric over substance. In 2025, Trump doubles down. Outsider hires, tariff aggression, bureaucratic gutting. He could outpace Obama's half reforms and rival history's game changers, Jackson and FDR. But his first term leaned noise over action, and the Gulf deal smell like Clinton's globalism with a tan. Watch his cabinet, early laws, and whether he challenges the Pentagon or big tech. If he governs like Bush, big talk, GOP playbook, he's just a louder Biden, basking in Middle East applause, but still the old Boston new robes. Which goes back to, we just gotta wait. Oh, man, I hate the waiting. Like I said, I'm giving him pretty much a year. And I'm expecting to see some silver bracelets on some well-known names that we've seen doing some crazy stuff. Like, we've all just found out this week that it was the staff in Biden's administration running the auto pen for favors and money. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking for some silver bracelets. If you know that's what it was, then do some investigation, get some damn evidence, because I'm sure there is some, and start arresting people.